Our dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning that we're able to come and worship you freely. We just thank you for just the many graces that you provided for us this week. Please be with those that were unable to make it this week because of sickness or traveling or whatever that kept them away. Please keep them safe, that they will be here next week. Please be with our speaker, Tom, that you will use him, bless him, and to inspire all of us to be closer to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I learned a new potential hobby this week. I don't know if any of you have ever done this before, but I found someone that does something that's really interesting to me, and I know my wife's going to never let me do this, but because I haven't even talked to her about this. But this is what I learned this week. This guy that came to see me in my office this week, and his hobby is to bid on unpaid storage containers. Have you ever done that? Anybody ever done that? All right, there's someone that did back there. Okay, so what he does is if somebody doesn't pay their bill at their mini storage, after a certain amount of time, it goes up for auction. And it's kind of a open the door and you get one look at what's on the front, and you bid on what the contents are. So the contents could be good or it could be just junk. So whoever is the highest bidder gets what's ever in the storage container. And it could be anything. So this guy comes in this last week and he says, oh, I got this huge flat screen TV and all sorts of things that these people just had, it was impossible for them to make their payments, so they left it. And once it's locked up, you can't get in. And so I thought, that would be kind of interesting, might be kind of fun. And I thought, no way am I ever going to do that, because you have to haul it away and then you have to get rid of it if it's not what you want. So anyway, I just thought, it just kind of grabbed me. You know, it's just kind of like that little adventure thing, like, ooh, what would be inside there? But it could be just a bunch of junk, and I have no idea. Wow. Okay, so where are we? John Mark, are you ready to run those pictures? Today we're going to talk about a subject that I have found very interesting in Scripture over the last little bit. And that's a picture last year when the water was really big at Vernal Falls on the Mist Trail. And we were in the midst of the mist. And it was so fun because, show the other picture of Vernal Falls. It was a double rainbow day. It was so big. Kind of the end of the day, maybe, what was it, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And we were walking down. That was Nevada Falls right above it. And it was just spectacular. And so this year, not so good. But being in the middle of that was really, really cool for me because I felt a part of that whole thing that was happening there. And down here trying to get a picture of the waterfall and keeping my camera covered and then wiping the lens cap off really fast and then snapping the picture. It's a little bit fuzzy because it was covered with water. Show me another picture on this one. Another in the midst picture. Have the rest of them downloaded, or is that all we have? Okay, we have that one. Did you get that one with the orange stuff? Okay, there we are. A couple of years ago, Callie and I went up when the poppies were really spectacular in up the Merced River Canyon, and I felt like I was kind of in the Wizard of Oz film because there were billions of these flowers, and we just sat up there, and our eyes actually became like they couldn't even sense orange anymore. I don't know what it was, but there were this whole hillside, I don't know, maybe it was 20, 30 acres of flowers, and it was just the most spectacular thing to be in the middle of all that and to be a part of it. And so this morning, I would like to look at some scripture verses that talk about that phrase, in the midst. It's a very common phrase in scripture, and it is it's used over 200 times in scripture. So let's go to, I've given them a whole bunch of different scriptures for us to look at. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So it says, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the middle of the garden, in the midst, that's what it's talking about here, that phrase. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. This is when Moses was coming face to face with God. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning in the fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So God was in the midst of that bush, and that bush was on fire. And let's go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. These are just, you can, if you take your Bible concordance at home and look up in the midst on your computer, you'll find that it's just a whole bunch of different things. And the priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood on firm on dry ground in the, it says in the middle, in the midst of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing. These are all really cool stories in the scripture that we've all heard before, where the it happened in the Red Sea, and it happened in the middle of the Jordan River during flood time. Just like those waterfalls, the water was high, it was running strong, it was fast, and yet God caused a miracle to happen where we would have dry ground. Let's go to Psalm chapter 22, verse 22. This is talking about us. And let's talking about us in Psalm 22, 22. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. This is where we are. We're in the midst of the assembly. We can praise God here and share what he's done for us in our lives. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. This one I really like. It's really interesting. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. God wants his word to dwell in our hearts. And I think there's a really interesting relationship with this in the midst phrase and our relationship with God. And I'd like for us to look at those together today. So we're going to look at what I thought were my favorite 10 verses. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 3 because we're going to stay there for a minute. Daniel chapter 3 has the greatest concentration of the phrase in the midst in all of Scripture. It's used 8 times in just Daniel chapter 3. And we'll look at those in just a minute. But I want to paint you a little scene of what's happening in Daniel chapter 3. You see, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been taken captive from Israel, and they had hiked all the way to Babylon, approximately 700 miles across the desert. So they were pretty experienced hikers. They knew privation. They knew what it meant to be a servant, because they were now, they didn't have any more freedom. They were owned by somebody else. And they also had experienced a very interesting thing in Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of the statue with that was gold and silver and bronze and iron. And they and their fellow wise men were going to have their heads cut off because they couldn't interpret the dream. And then Daniel was given a vision by God in the night, and he interpreted the dream, and their lives were spared. And so they had experienced having really faith in God and saying, God, the moment is now. The time is on the line. You know, we're your servants. If you want us to stay living, then it's time to come through. And so they had experienced that. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't necessarily like that he was only the head of gold. And so he decided to build himself a 90-foot statue of pure gold. And he had set it up in the plain of Dura. And now they were going to be given the opportunity to give their allegiance to whoever was their god. And so as they came out onto the plain of Dura, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you look in verse chapter 3, verse 1, it says, he set it up. And that's the other phrase I want you to remember. Nebuchadnezzar set it up. It's three words, but it's a different direction that's going to happen. So you can either be in the midst or you can be set up. And so Daniel and his three friends were going to get an opportunity. So Babylonian evangelism is found in verses 4 through 7. If we look at it, it says, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn and the lyre and the trigon and all the other musical instruments that the king set up, you can fall down and worship, or you can be cast into the midst of the fire. So you have one, you have two choices: bow and worship, or burn. So it's bow. It's not turn or burn. It's bow or burn, I guess, is what we'd say. So when we look at this phrase, which choice are we going to make? What, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've already been they're faithful servants of God, and they're out here. They're pretty high up in Nebuchadnezzar's government structure, and here they are. They're out on the plain, and they've got to make a call. And it's time to decide. And so let's go over to verse 16 through 18. Actually, we're going to go to verse 12. Sorry, I'm going to change things around here. So they don't bow down. And it says in verse 12 that there are certain Jews that they've disregarded you, and they don't serve your gods, and they don't worship the golden image. And verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar gets pretty upset. He's mad because they haven't followed through and worshiped him. And so in he brings them up. He says in verse 14, he says, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? So he gives them a second chance. He says, now, verse 15, if you're ready. You can fall down and you can worship, or, and everything will be just fine. It's just, okay, all you have to do is bow the knee, give me the worship, and everything's going to be just fine. Or, you can be cast immediately into the midst of the furnace. There we are, into the midst again. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? You know, Nebuchadnezzar is looking him in the eye and he's saying, you know what? I'm the boss here, and you have absolutely no chance of getting out of this one, because I'm the one that owns the furnace and I own the statue. So you can do it one way or the other. And so Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, in verse 16, they say, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your hand. But if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Whew, that is pretty much standing up, isn't it? I think that took some faith, because Nebuchadnezzar really got mad then. It says he was filled with wrath in verse 19. And I don't know, have you ever seen somebody that's really gotten mad? I mean, where their face just kind of like starts to turn bright red, and you can see the veins pop out on their neck, and they're just ready to it's just going to be bad. So he fires up the furnace a little bit hotter. And I want you to think of this one verse. It's in Philippians chapter 1, 21. Think of this verse for a second. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So, do you think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego thought that way? I kind of think they did. So, here they are. They're tied up in verse 21. And they were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And it was so hot that it killed all of the guards that were throwing them in. And as they fell into the midst of the fire, verse 24 says, Nebuchadnezzar was just blown away. He looks in there, and what does he see? We all know this story. He sees them walking around in the fire, and it's not just three people now, it's four people. In verse 25, he says, "I see four men loosed and walking in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." So, I just like to think, what do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing in the fire talking with Jesus? I mean, what do you think was going on? I mean, what do you think they asked Jesus or said to Jesus? I don't know. I think they were saying, "Thanks a bunch for coming through." But here is this amazing thing where they're actually walking with Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace. I mean, they're just like, I mean, I don't know how big the fiery furnace. It was big enough to walk around in. Let's just say it was as big as this room. And it's just cooking hot, but they don't think it's hot. They're walking around. And by the way, all their ropes and everything that was tying them down had been burned off, but it didn't hurt them. And Nebuchadnezzar's, you know, he comes up to the entrance to the furnace, and he's looking in there, and he's looking in there, and I can just, I just kind of think it's funny. I think they might have said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Hey, come on in. The fire's just fine." Can you imagine that? I mean, just saying, "Come on in. The water's fine." Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he's not going in there because he knows. But so he calls them out of the fire, and they come out of the fire. But I don't know. Maybe they didn't come out right away. Maybe they stuck. I would have stayed in there for a while. I would have enjoyed being in there. But something that about this whole story that's really interesting to me. If we look at verse 28 together, it says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Now this is Nebuchadnezzar talking now. "He sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. And they violated the king's command and yielded up their bodies or their lives so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God." I mean, isn't that a testament to the life that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived? That's really what it was all about, is that they had yielded up their life. But, you know, I think there's something that's really big here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a part of. And something is that I think they respected Nebuchadnezzar for his authority, but when it came down to who you were going to worship and who your final allegiance was going to be for, I mean, it's okay to have a job and to give honor to your employer or to, you know, to your government and everything, but when the line is drawn in the sand about whether it affects your worship and your relationship with God, they were willing to stand for what they knew was right. And that's what's really important here. But they also, these three men, I think, really cared about Nebuchadnezzar. And they were one piece of the puzzle. about Nebuchadnezzar's salvation. See, the first piece was when Daniel had the dream and he interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. That was one of the pieces of the puzzle. This is another big piece for Nebuchadnezzar. You know, for Nebuchadnezzar, it took a lot to convince him about who God really was in his life. And I think that just the place that they were put in life, I think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were gunning for Nebuchadnezzar and for his salvation. They were willing to go to the furnace for him. They were willing to take it all the way. I mean, just think, you know, when they were at the plain of Dura, they could have said, "Oh, look, here's a bug. Look at, isn't that a neat looking butterfly or a caterpillar down there?" I mean, they could have bowed the knee. They could have faked it. But they didn't. And because they had God's word in the midst of their hearts. And I think that that's a secret for us. If we have God in the midst of our hearts, no matter where he asks us to go and whatever he asks us to do, that he will be there with us. He was there with them. Now, let's go on to number 2 of my favorite 10. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. This is a very common passage of scripture about the woman caught in adultery. And there's two places that it talks about in the midst there. You see, when they brought the woman before Jesus, they cast her down in the midst of the crowd. And Jesus is there. And then this is one of the, there's 4 places in scripture where it talks about the finger of God. One is where he writes the Ten Commandments with the finger. The second one happens to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, who gets the bloodless hand on the wall, and he gets you know, the end of his career. And then the third time is here, where Jesus writes in the sand. And when God writes with his finger, it's like that old saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I know that's an old, but when Jesus writes with his finger, people pay attention to what was written. And as they do pay attention, pretty soon, it's just Jesus and Mary there now. And I think the coolest thing about being in the midst with Jesus is that when he says to Mary, "Who is it that condemns you?" And Mary says, "There's nobody here." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you." And you know what? That is so important in our relationship with Jesus Christ, is when we're in God's presence, I think that's when we really feel God's love. And we really feel that forgiveness and that cleansing power. And you know what? That's what changed her life. And that's what made her a different person. And that's what guided the rest of her life, was that being in the presence of Jesus. And I think that Jesus is there when we mess up. But he's also there to give us the forgiveness that we need and the strength that we need. And I think the last thing that Jesus wrote in the sand that day was, "I love you, Mary." And I think she took that writing with her the rest of her life. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. One of my favorite little passages. It says, "But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary." And it was actually in the midst of the sea, is one translation. And, you know, the disciples there, that's where Peter walks out to Jesus and, you know, he sinks, and then Jesus lifts him out of the water, and then when they come back to the boat, that's when the sea becomes calm. And when you're in a turbulent time of your life, I believe that Jesus is going to walk out there with you into that turbulence. And I think it's really, really important to remember that. Let's go to, this is number 4. This is one I really like. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 45. "The veil of the temple was torn in the midst," in the King James it says. torn in two. And when Jesus died on the cross, salvation was opened to all people, and it's an amazing thing to think of what Jesus Christ did for us. Go to John 19:18 and continue on this thought. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus, it says in the King James, in the midst. So think about that for a second. Here we have Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and there's a sinner on the left and a sinner on the right. Jesus wouldn't have had it any other way except to be in the middle of it all for us. That's where he wanted to be for us. In fact, so much in the middle that we traded places with him. That he took it for us. And if you go to Daniel chapter 9, 27, one of my favorite in the midst sayings, he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the midst of the week, he put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. You see, in the midst of the week, right on time, prophetically, Jesus went on the cross for us. I mean, how more on time could Jesus be for us? And then, even when we haven't gotten it figured out, in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, it says, on the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. I just want to encourage you that when you're in a situation where you're fearful or where you can't not figure it out and you don't know what's going on or what's coming next, that I want you to know that Jesus is there and he has something for you. And the phrase is, peace be with you. God wants us to be at peace. We know we're going to be in challenging situations, but God wants us to be at peace. Let's go to Philippians 2:15, because this is where life gets kind of interesting for us as Christians. So this is modern. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for us today. Okay? So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You see, Jesus Christ has sent us all out in the midst of the world so that we can be those candles so that other people can see Jesus Christ clearly. For us, you know, every person that we come in contact with is an opportunity to share Jesus Christ, whether it be by our demeanor, by our speech, by our actions. And it's going to be different each time. But look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their time was to take a jump in the furnace. And the next time in the midst was used in the book of Daniel. We won't look at that verse, but it was when Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that he was going to be insane for a few years. And he says, and you know, if you would just turn away from that and be kind, maybe God would spare you from that. But Nebuchadnezzar had to learn one more lesson. He had to eat grass. And that experience changed his life. But you see, God brought people into Nebuchadnezzar's life that could change his life. And God wants us to be part of different people's lives. I had a cool experience happen this last week. A young man that I know, he lives up in Oregon. He was my nephew's best friend in high school. His name is Scott McCoon. You guys know Scotty. Well, he called me the other day. And he was down in Fresno. He works for a hospital up in, what's the town he lives in now? Baker, Oregon, way up in eastern Oregon. He and his wife and their four kids live over there, and we just got to talk, and I hadn't seen Scotty for quite a while. And when Scotty was in in nursing school at Walla Walla, he had an instructor that didn't treat him very nicely. And Scotty popped off at him one day, and they kicked him out of school. And because he popped off way, way too much. And you know, he's in the middle of his nursing curriculum, and, you know, basically he was going to get canned. And so I found out about it. His dad called me up. I can't remember just how I found out about it, but his dad and I, we flew up there, and he had to sit out a quarter, but we flew up there, and we kind of went to bat for him, and he got back in school. And he's had his challenges in life, but it was really cool to hear him talk about the kids being in church school and being involved in Pathfinders. What did he say? He said they went to this huge campery over by the coast, and there were, thousands of Pathfinders there. And he says, I always thought Pathfinders was just a little bit different, he says, but my kids love it. And it was so cool to hear that he's active in church and that he's keeping faithful with God. And I think that God brings each one of us into somebody's life at a certain time. And, you know, like, you guys were neighbors with him. You guys were neighbors with him. We were neighbors with him. And all of those influences and those experiences made a difference for him. And I just think, thank you, God, for letting me be a part of that. And I think that the more I read about being in the midst, is I think that God wants us to be in the thick of it with him. He really wants us to be involved in people's lives. I had a very interesting experience happen to me a few months ago. A gentleman came to see me, and he was kind of embarrassed about his situation with his mouth because it wasn't good. And so he came in, and he was chatting with me. And when he left the first day, he says, I want to thank you for not judging me. And I thought, what did he really mean by that? And in his particular experience, it was very embarrassing for him to let me look in his mouth and see something that he thought was not the way it should be. And as I thought about that gentleman, I thought, you know, thank you, God, that I was able to give him a loving perspective on what I could do to help him. And, you know, I have become a really good friend with this gentleman at my office, and he's just really a kind man, and he's a really sweet person, and I just really am thankful that I didn't get out my floss whip and whip him that day. Because sometimes, you know, as a dentist, and this is a weakness in my life, is you know, I'm a very... everybody that works at my office, you know, sooner or later, they get the drift that brushing and flossing is important in life. Because if you sit with me long enough, you're going to watch me take out somebody's teeth. And it's a traumatic experience. It's still a traumatic experience for me. And it always will be, I hope. I hope I never get used to that. Because I would rather someone never lose a tooth their entire life, and that's how I feel about it. But sometimes you just can't save a tooth, and so a tooth goes another way. And so, but I think what's really important is sometimes when you come on somebody in life, when God sends you into somebody's life where he asks you to go, and you don't know where it is, and maybe you don't even like being there at that particular time, but God's chosen for you to be there. It's a privilege to be God's messenger of love and kindness and grace, wherever he calls you to be. I remember reading in a book by Jim Cimbala, he was talking about this one experience where this guy was living in a dumpster, and he just smelled like the garbage in the dumpster. And he came to one of their church services back in New York City. And after the service, he came up and he threw his arms around Pastor Cimbala, and all he could smell was this horrid, rotten food, stinky smell. And the guy is crying and just thanking him for the church service. And so Pastor Cimbala reached in to give him a little something so he could get something to eat that wasn't old out of the dumpster. And he says, I don't want that money. He says, I want what that young lady shared in her testimony, because that's what he had heard that had grabbed a hold of his life. And so this guy who was in the dumpster became a part of their church family and actually became the head deacon at their church. And it's an amazing, amazing story. But God wants us to be willing to see people for who they really are. Not for what their external appearance is, but for who they really are. Because God looks way down inside of our hearts. And he knows what we're like. And you know what? He knows when we're really stinky too. And he still comes to help us out. And I think that's the way we should live. You see, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. This is a really cool, anybody who's ever been involved in prayer ministry, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. If you have a Bible study with two or three, God's there with you. If you have a prayer group, God is there with you. If you're helping somebody else, God is there with you. If you're on a mission trip, God is there with you helping. And let's go to Revelation 22, verse 2. This is where we all want to be. On either side, do we have that in the King James Version? It sounds really cool in the King James Version. I think it's in the midst of the street of it, and on either side is the tree of life. You see, the first verse we looked at was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. You see, God is, I think, you know, if you want to call yourself a leaf, God wants us to be a part of healing and be in the midst. You know, I don't know where you're at in life, but I know that God wants to use you. And as I look out in this congregation, I know a lot of you where you guys are working and doing something for Jesus Christ. And just when you go back home today, take a look at Daniel chapter 3. Be a worker. Be a worker for Jesus Christ. Get in the midst of it. Because you know what? It's fine in the fire, wherever God puts you. And God wants you to be right in there in the thick of it. It's God's plan for us to be in the middle of the fire with him and to be a part of it. And Allison has this really cool song that she's going to sing for us. And she sang this song a little while ago, and it just really grabbed me because I think you'll understand why. Father in heaven, you know that you have different directions for each one of us through our lives. And there are places that you lead us that are wonderful, places that you leave us that are very challenging. And so, Lord, as we leave this place today and we go out to get into the midst of the world and work for you, I just pray that that you would just really inspire each one of us, and that you would just really draw us close to you so that we can know that you're there with us. And Lord, when it gets tough, just help us to hang in there with you when the fire gets hot. And Lord, help us to know that whatever we do does make a difference in this world for those people that we help. And we know, Lord, that you have a great plan, and we just ask that you would help us to listen and keep in tune with you this week. And thank you so much for everything you do for us and every blessing you bring our way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.